Mariupol is being bombed into the past. Ukrainians say economic infrastructure, factories, warehouses are non-military targets. Survivors now suffering war will inevitably suffer in the future, their livelihoods destroyed. On the ground, Russia's Chechen soldiers, hardened fighters, continue to push on residential areas and suburbs. Waiting to meet them may be Ukrainian volunteers like these men. Actors, singers, artists, all defending their home.
So far, all people are volunteers who basically never had a gun in their hands, never served in the army. They never thought that they would have a gun in their hands. But all of them are, with all of their intentions, determined to resist. And this desire just brought all of them here.
Fear is natural, he says. To control it, you must embrace it. A small unit with little training, days away from going into the fray, to block Russia's advance on the capital. Mariupol, Kyiv, Chernihiv, satellite pictures show the Russian army's use of artillery, where its ground forces have been stalled by lethal Ukrainian hit-and-run attacks.
In Kharkiv region, another enemy jet was shot down. Our forces have already shot down so many Russian jets and helicopters that we can only state, instead of containing brains, their pilots' heads are empty. I said as well, and this is not by accident, their hearts and souls are also empty.
Unharmed but not untouched by the fighting, performers in Drohobych have new roles. Cooking meals for soldiers on the front lines.
There's a saying that when the guns sound, muses are silent, but we are not silent. We are in the rear. We are engaged in volunteer work because Ukraine is in a difficult situation now.
Since the invasion began, they've sent thousands of meatballs and dumplings, as well as meat stew, soup, fish, and pancakes from here to Kyiv. As long as their people remain in harm's way. For this theater troupe, the show must go on. Zain Basravi, Al Jazeera, Lviv.
Well, let's get the latest from the capital of Kyiv. Imran Khan is standing by there. Imran, what is happening right now?
Well, the curfew is about halfway through. This curfew was brought into effect 8 o'clock last night. Goes on until 7 a.m. Wednesday morning. It's worth just taking a look at the streets. Kyiv isn't a busy city anyway. This city is about 50% evacuated already. The only people who are really left behind are those people who have absolutely no choice and can't go anywhere else. The only cars we're seeing moving on the street are actually things like that car over there, I don't know if you can see it, with the Ukrainian flag on it. It's actually a civilian car, but inside are territorial defence units. They're volunteers who are patrolling the city. What could be the reason for this curfew, and why is it lasting such a long time, 35 hours? Well, there's a number of reasons. The deputy mayor suggests it's to do with shelling. Others have suggested that it's actually to do with a security operation to try and look for Russian saboteurs that may be in the city. It's not the first curfew that we've been through in the last couple of weeks. There was one last week, lasted about the same time, and that was an operation trying to look for Russian saboteurs. Now, that's the curfew, but the fighting is ongoing. About 10:30, about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago now, actually, we heard a very loud explosion near where we are. That was a cruise missile that was shot down by Ukrainian air defense systems over the north of the city. And this seems to be a tactic that the Russians are employing more and more. The advance into Kyiv has actually stalled. Anecdotally, I can tell you that that's what Ukrainians are telling us. But it's been backed up by the international community, particularly British Defence, who are talking about the fact that the Russian army haven't managed to take any major areas in the last few weeks. Now, we are going to see more of these airstrikes. We are going to see more of these artillery and shelling come into the city whilst their soldiers are still stalled on the outskirts. But The Ukrainians are now mounting a counter-offensive. There's a suburb of Kyiv. Its suburb's a bit misleading as a term. It's actually in Kyiv Oblast, just outside of the city. It was an area that had been taken by the Russians, Markiev, but the Ukrainians have managed to force them out. There's another area, Borisopol, which is near the international airport. The mayor there is asking all of the citizens, the civilians there, to evacuate the city to allow the Ukrainian army in to mount an operation against Russian forces that might be on the outskirts. And whilst all that's going on, Ostomel, Bucha and Irpin, those three major front lines on the edge of the city, which if the Russians take, allow them to use as a staging post for any potential ground invasion into the city. Fierce fighting is still going on in those areas, and indeed we've heard air raid sirens and blasts and explosions from that area throughout the day.
All right, Imran, thanks for that. Imran Khan there in the capital. Let's head west. We go to Lviv now. Rob McBride is there for us. And Rob, the President Zelensky is saying he is ready to compromise. Where are we exactly with talks and any negotiations?
That's right. There is this ongoing talk about talks, which theoretically is all to the good. We hear from the Kremlin, for example, that they have put forward certain proposals to the Ukrainian side, to which they have had some responses, but not responses to others, without going into any details about what those proposals are. President Zelensky's office is a little more forthcoming, so we have a better idea of what any kind of negotiations might look like. For example, this major concession on giving up application for joining of NATO, which we know is one of the reasons that Russians are here on Ukrainian soil. It is one of the major issues with the Russian side. President Zelensky has already intimated in the past that he'd be willing to concede on that, so that's fairly easy for him to do. Also, for example, to recognize Russian as an official language in parts of Ukraine. That, again, is another easy thing to concede from the Ukrainian side. Where the problems start, of course, is on land and territory, and whether you concede land that, as far as the Ukrainians are concerned, has simply been grabbed by Russians as part of this exercise in naked aggression. Do you reward that? So that's where the problems start. But we do hear from another advisor in Zelensky's office that they are constantly in contact between the two sides, even if it is online. There is a lot of going back and forth, but it is around various details, such as the framework for or a roadmap on going forward and what the substantive issues are. And so when you get into this thicket of detail, it does make it sound as though any kind of meeting between Putin and Zelensky is still a long way off. Any kind of peace deal still remains very far in the distance, or even just a ceasefire to bring this fighting to an end. So for the moment, at least, obviously, as we can see around the country on so many different fronts, that fighting continues.
All right, Rob, thank you very much. Rob McBride there in Lviv.